Gopi jana balava kiri baradhare. Gopi jana balava kiri baradhare. Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Aranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Aranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachare Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Gopi Jana Balava Giri Bharatare Gopi Jana Balava Giri Bharatare Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Aranjana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Jana Aranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachare Yamuna Tira Vanachare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihare Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Mishtabad, Paramahangsa, Parivrajak, Jaya Stadisna, Shishmadis, Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. ISKCON's founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari ki. Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. Sri Sri Gonitai ki. Sankirtan Yajnaki Gopremanandi. All glories to the day of Samal devotees. All glories to the day of Samal devotees. All glories to the day of Samal devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Paranjan, Text 51. Devahur Nama Purya Dwa Uttarena Puranjana Rashtram Uttara Panchalam Yati Shruta Dharanvita Devahur Nama Purya Dwa Uttarena Puranjana Rashtram Uttara Panchalam Yati Shruta Dharanvita Devahur Nama Purya Dwa Uttarena Puranjana Rashtram Uttara Panchalam Yati Shruta Dharanvita Devahur Nama Purya Dwa Uttarena Puranjana Rashtram Uttara Panchalam Yati Shruta Dharanvita
someone else.
Mataji's. Devahu, of the name Devahu, Nama, as it was called, Purya, of the city, Dwa, gate, Uttarena, on the northern side, Puranjana, King Paranjan, Rastra, country, Uttara, northern, Panchala, of the name Panchala, Yati, used to go, Shrutadara Anvita, with his friend Shrutadara. Translation. On the northern side was the gate named Devahu. Through that gate, King Paranjan used to go with his friend Shrutadara to the place known as Uttara Panchala. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki. The two ears are situated on the northern side and the southern side. The ear on the southern side is very strong and is always anxious to hear about sense enjoyment. The ear on the northern side, however, is used for taking initiation from the spiritual master and for gaining promotion to the spiritual sky. The right ear, or the ear on the southern side, is called Pitrihu, which indicates that it is used for attaining the higher planetary systems known as Pitriloka, but the left ear, which is known as Devahu, is utilized for hearing about even higher planetary systems, such as Mahaloka, Tapaloka, and Brahmaloka, or yet even higher planets situated in the spiritual universe, where one becomes more inclined to be permanently situated. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita chapter 9, verse 25. Yanti deva vrata devan pitrin yanti patri vrata bhutani yanti bhutejya yanti mad yajanopi mam. Those who worship the demigods will take birth among the demigods. Those who worship ghosts and spirits will take birth among such beings. Those who worship ancestors go to the ancestors. And those who worship me will live with me. One who is interested in being happy on this planet as well as after death, generally wants to be elevated to the pitri lokas. Such a person can use the right ear for hearing Vedic instructions. However, one who is interested in going to Tapaloka, Brahma Loka, the Vaikuntha planets, or Krishna Loka, may take initiation from the spiritual master in order to be elevated to such lokas. Devahur nama puryatva utarena puranjanaha rastram utara panchalam yati shruta daranvitaha. On the northern side was the gate named Devahu. Through that gate, King Puranjan used to go with his friend Shrutadara to the place known as Uttara Panchala. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadesh Tarane Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasati Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So the characteristics of King Puranjan are being described, and particularly in terms of, in this part, different parts of the city of King Puranjan, which allegorically indicates, the city indicates his body or the body of the conditioned soul, which has so many different parts, of course, and the different parts have different functions, of course, and some, particularly in this verse at least, some are more auspicious than others. Some are more auspicious, some are less in this material world in terms of karma, kandiya, and material considerations. There are so many considerations of auspicious and inauspicious. The great majority of you are from Hindu backgrounds of one sort or another, and you would know that Hinduism is full of considerations of auspicious and inauspicious, doing things in certain ways, in certain places, and to keep the auspicious side up and the inauspicious side down, or try to avoid it altogether. So in a sense, it is a great science of auspicious and inauspicious, and keeping on the correct positive side of things to create a positive future and avoid a negative future. But the devotees, or the transcendental science, is not so much concerned about, certainly not about, all these material considerations of auspicious and inauspicious. Here, in the previous verse and this verse, description is given of the two ears, right ear, left ear. Right ear is right ear is southern side. Left ear is northern side. Right ear has a particular nature. Left ear has a somewhat different nature. Many people don't think about, never heard about, ideas like this. But according to auspicious and inauspicious, on the material level, these are considerations. And so right ear then, right ear, southern side, is not so auspicious. Right ear is more inclined towards material things, karma kandya. It has some feeling for that, some attraction for that, inclination in that direction. Left ear is inclined to higher, at least in terms of auspicious and inauspicious, materially. Left ear is inclined to somewhat higher things. So right ear is called, what's right ear called? Pitrihu. Pitrihu. Because if you focus on that side, if that is your nature and your idea in life, material elevation, so you focus on the right ear and go into the karma kandya and hear the karma kandya mantras through the right ear and follow that, then you may be elevated to Pitriloka, where the forefathers are, or some of them are. They're not all there, otherwise there'd be a lot of people there. You know, a lot of the forefathers, I hate to say it, are going to lower places due to the influence of Kali Yuga. But at least those forefathers whose children, particularly sons, have done the Pitapak and all these things for the benefit of the forefathers, then those forefathers who may otherwise actually have gone to the lower planets, they may have been in the lower planets, but if the sons they do these types of ritualistic activities, those forefathers who may be in lower positions materially, they can be elevated to that Pitriloka. It's not that all the forefathers go there, but particularly those whose descendants have done those ceremonies for the benefit of the forefathers, they then may go to Pitriloka. And if you focus in this lifetime in that way, hearing through the right ear and doing all the right things, you may just go there directly. You may go there directly. But if you hear through the left ear, then it is called Deva, who the Devas are higher. Devas, that's the demigods. Devas and Devis. So their position is higher. So if you focus on that, if you follow that path, then you may go Tapaloka, Mahaloka, Janaloka, and maybe Brahmaloka, although that may also be another thing, Brahmaloka, materially, but that is the general direction. And even Srila Prabhupada makes the point here that possibility may arise. Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gornitai, Sri Giri Govardhan Ki. one way or another, you may actually go to Vaikuntha, the left side is more like that. You can receive transcendental mantras from not just a priest, but an actual spiritual master, a transcendental teacher. You can receive those mantras through the left ear, and this way your spiritual nature will be aroused, and you may become a devotee, you may go to the spiritual world via the right ear. In fact, I recall when Srila Prabhupada gave me second initiation and gave me the Gayatri mantras, he gave them to me. He was sitting sort of in front of me, but a little to my left. Next person who came in had his right side to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't tell him, turn the other way. Just on reflection, I'm remembering these things. And so then Prabhupada gave me the mantras very quickly. And then he asked me to repeat them to him. And his right side was turned to me. So anyway, an important point here is, these are material considerations to a very large extent. These are material considerations to a very large extent. And for the devotees, right ear, left ear, it's not so important. Main thing is to hear, in terms of sound vibration and your ears. Main thing is, hear the transcendental sound vibration. Right ear, left ear, both ears, doesn't matter so much really. These are like technical, more like technical considerations, and more in terms of karma kandya. Sometimes, well, we note in the first canto, in the description of the disappearance of Lord Krishna, or Arjuna coming and explaining to Maharaj Yudhisthira about the disappearance of Lord Krishna, and then Arjuna is not quite arrived, and Yudhisthira is noticing many inauspicious omens. It's omens, it's all part of the same science, really. And one thing he says is, inauspicious animals are circumambulating me, like dogs, creatures like this. And auspicious animals, like the cows, appear to be very unhappy. So all these different omens he mentions, the deities in the temples appear to be crying. And what is it? There is thunder with no clouds in the sky, if I remember correctly. Something like that. So certain things are happening. And Yudhisthira is saying, this is very inauspicious. Something has happened. So, of course, someone who really knows the science, they can understand so many things from just observing what is going on around them, and they can, by interacting in different ways and doing different things in different ways, they can create auspiciousness and avoid inauspiciousness. But for the devotees, to a very large extent, they just focus on Krishna, take shelter of Krishna, and try to follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and don't get too much into these things. For example, Srila Prabhupada made the point that strictly according to Karma Kandiya and like Smarta Vidhi, which is the same thing basically. Smarta Vidhi, the rules and regulations. There are ways to do everything, auspicious or inauspicious. There are ways to get up in the morning. There are ways to brush your teeth. There are mantras, and you've got to face in a certain direction and certain things, and there are ways to use the toilet, and so on and so on and so on. Srila Prabhupada made the point once that if you really get into the science of auspicious and inauspicious and all these technical considerations on the material level, Prabhupada said, particularly for people in the Kali Yuga who are prone to be very slow and, you know, just not so together in any ways, to do all these intricate, observe all these intricate details, Prabhupada said, even something like getting up in the morning, using the toilet, taking bath, putting on your clothes, tilak, and so on, can become so complicated that for people in Kali Yuga, if you really want to do it all, by the time you finish, and you've now got your clothes on and you're ready for the day, it would have taken so long, it would now be time to take rest at night. It's very difficult. It's very demanding. Srila Prabhupada himself observed to some extent, not a great extent, but to some extent, some of these considerations. Like, for example, Srila Prabhupada generally did not travel or like to travel on Ekadasi. Of course, Ekadasi is also transcendental. Srila Prabhupada generally, or sometimes, did not like to start a journey on a Thursday. Right. There are considerations like this. He would avoid it unless he couldn't. So something like that, it's coming out of this type of, you know, these sources, auspicious, inauspicious. Sometimes Srila Prabhupada would have an astrological reading done, and sometimes they would recommend wear a certain stone on one of your fingers, and Srila Prabhupada would do it for a few days and then stop doing it. Because Krishna consciousness is really functioning in a different way. It's functioning on a different level. It's functioning in a different dimension, ultimately. And the more one becomes absorbed in Krishna consciousness, truly Krishna conscious, then the less these types of considerations matter. Like, for example, it is, or you should pass some being or something which is auspicious with that being or thing on your right hand side. Did you know that? Not really on your left hand side. That's more for inauspicious things. Keep them on your left. Occasionally we meet sadhus here and there, or we just bump into them, and you see they're walking down the street, we're walking down the street, And particularly as a Westerner who in a certain, you know, Karmakandiya sense could be taken to be on the inauspicious side. Occasionally, you see the one or two of these people, they quickly switch to the other side. So they pass you with their left-hand side. I don't know if you've ever watched people in these terms. But then others who see you, and perhaps they see you, like in my own case, as a sannyasi, at least dressed as such. So then they make a point of passing you on their right-hand side. So this is all auspicious, inauspicious. Like the fine considerations, when does Ekadasi begin? Meaning, what time of the day? When does Purnima begin? What time of the day? What time does Purnima end? Prabhupada did not get into these things that we're aware of. But so many people are into these considerations. Like, if you're going to do Govardhan Parikrama, don't go on a Purnima unless you like crowds. And if you have to go, then find out when the Purnima technically begins and technically ends. And try to avoid those times, because that's when all the people suddenly appear, when the Purnima technically begins. So for the devotees, these considerations, they're not so important. Radha Rasabihari. Rasabihari has Srimati Radharani on his left side. So, that's very auspicious. Must be transcendentally auspicious. So for the devotees, the main thing is take shelter of bona fide spiritual master, follow the instructions given in Shastra, keep fully engaged in devotional service, avoid offenses to the devotees, avoid offenses as much as possible, and really try to keep Krishna conscious and not worry too much about all these technical intricacies. Hare Krishna. Any comment or question, Maharajas?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for a very enlivening class, Maharaj. You gave many nice examples to help us understand further. I wanted to know the clear difference between the bad omen, as we read from the scriptures like Bhagavatam, and the superstition that some people stick to. So when do we know we should sort it out as superstitions, and other times as the bad omen, as per the scriptures?
For the devotees, it's not so important. On the material level, you'd have to study and learn. You know, I was once driving, not a couple of years ago, we were driving with a person, a black cat crossed the road in front of the car. The devotee stopped the car, turned around 360 degrees. in a total circle and then carried on. Then, would you believe, another black cat crossed the road, and the devotee did the same thing, and then carried on. Then, would you believe, a third time a black cat came out, and we did the same thing, and then carried on. And since that time, there's a devotee community there. We were on the way. We were almost there. Since then, that devotee community has experienced many trials and tribulations. It's been amazing, actually. So I'm not an authority at all on the science of material auspicious and inauspicious. But, you know, if you really wanted to go into it, you'd have to go into it and study and see. But one devotee, senior devotee in ISKCON, told me, never go to someone's house in a group of three. Either go two or four. He told me he went, senior ISKCON sannyasi, Bengali. He went with two other devotees to someone's house in Calcutta. The person opened the door, saw three of them, closed the door in their face. They came back the next day, I think just two of them. He opened the door and welcomed them like nothing had happened. So for devotees, the basic point is these considerations are not so important, particularly if they're going to interfere with our devotional service. If they're going to interfere with our devotional service, you know, observing some technicality of that sort, well, then it becomes inauspicious spiritually. You know, on the material level, ultimately, it's all relative. Auspicious, inauspicious is all relative. And there's nothing which is, on the material level, absolutely auspicious materially or absolutely inauspicious materially. You know, there's a famous story you may well have heard about a wise man, his son, and his foolish friends. I don't know if you heard that story. It's interesting in that regard. So the wise man and his son and the foolish friends. The wise man had a horse. One day the horse ran away. The foolish friends came and said, "Oh, that's very bad." The wise man said, "It may be bad, it may be good." Next day, the horse came back of its own accord, and it brought a friend, a second horse. And the foolish friends came and said, "Oh, that's very good." And the wise man said, "It may be good, it may be bad." Now, of course, if the horse had not run away, it would not have brought the other horse. So, anyway, so there you go. So, the next day, the wise man's son tried to tame the new horse. It was a wild horse. So he tried to jump on it and ride it and get it to accept being ridden by a human. But the horse went wild and threw the wise man's son off and he broke his leg. And the foolish friends came and said, "That's very bad." And what did the wise man say? "It may be bad, it may be good." The next day, the king declared war on some neighboring country. And he sent his men out to round up all the young men to fight in the battle and quite possibly get killed. So they came to the wise man's house. There was the wise man's son. It's the middle of the day. He's lying on a bed in the middle of the day. So they thought, huh, some lazy young fellow, let's just grab him and put him in the front lines to fight. But then they saw he had a broken leg. He couldn't do anything. So they left him. And the foolish friends came and said, oh, that's very good. The day before it was very bad. Now it's that's very good. They didn't take him to fight. So, you know, ultimately, on the material level, there's no really absolute, auspicious, absolute, inauspicious. It's all, you know, it's extremely relative. So for devotees, you know, we could perhaps find out what Srila Prabhupada particularly, what he used to observe, if anything, and to what degree he observed, and maybe do like that. But I wouldn't go any further than doing like that. Because it's, you know, there's a whole world of material considerations of auspicious and inauspicious. It's a big subject. You know, for example, Prabhupada accepted some of Chanakya's concepts in that regard. Some. And then certain other things like not traveling on Thursday and but otherwise, if you're going to become an expert in the science of auspicious and inauspicious, to avoid superstition, I think it would end up being a distraction from the real business. Like being vegetarian, so many people would say it's auspicious. It's good for your health. It's good for your karma. It's good for the environment and so on. So, okay, that's true. But also, being vegetarian is extremely inauspicious for some, particularly the vegetables. If the whole world became vegetarian today, it would be a disaster for the vegetable population of the world. Yeah. The animals would celebrate. But for the vegetables, it would be a disaster. So auspicious, inauspicious, to a very large extent, these are material considerations and they're not like essential considerations in Krishna consciousness. Is that okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. One more back there.
Maharaj, I have two questions. One is when we're offering obeisances to the deities with our left hand side, is it a rule of auspiciousness?
Well, it's meant to be. One thing I could say is that Srila Prabhupada, that whole practice was not introduced early in Prabhupada's time, but somehow it became introduced later. And I'm not aware, I could be wrong, but I've not, certainly not come across any instructions of Srila Prabhupada about, you know, saying how this is very important and, you know, like we have to do it. That would be my answer to that.
My second question is about Vastu. Like we follow a lot of Vastu these days in ISKCON. So is it auspicious? That's why we're following?
It's materially auspicious. you know, it's also in a sense, to some degree, material good sense. It's also material good sense, at least certain aspects of it. But it's more, it's certainly material consideration really, and not like essential spiritual consideration. But if you're building a new building, and if you can find out the vastu considerations without great difficulty and great expense, you know, there's certainly no harm at least. And why not build it in a way which is auspicious, if it's kind of, you know, if it's suitable for the type of building you want to make. But again, vastu is not something that Srila Prabhupada really emphasized very much. So, you know, like if the devotees buy a building to use as a temple, and if to get it right according to vastu, they'd have to tear the whole place apart, and, you know, it would be a major and costly venture, then it may be better just to go ahead and just use it in practical ways and not really bother with going into all that. Is that okay? Srila Prabhupada ki.